Hey, everybody. I hope that you're doing good today. My name is Jason. I'm the senior pastor at Grace Hill Church. And, you know, the last few weeks at Grace Hill have been an exciting time for us as a church. It's also been quite a bit of transition with us moving into the sanctuary on the square. And one of the things that we made a decision about in that transition is that we were not going to live stream for the foreseeable future. So one of the things that I'm going to do is come back every week and record a short podcast, kind of a version of the message, but in podcast form here in my home office. And so that's what I'm doing today. And today's message is going to be the message that I preached our very first Sunday at the sanctuary on the square. It was the week before Advent started, and it was a message called Preparing Our Hearts for Advent. And so that's the message that I'm going to be bringing today. And as always, I would love to be able to connect with you if you've got any questions about anything that was said or talked about in this message. You can email me at jason@gracehill901.com. So let's get into it. Hey, you know, we are in a season of preparation. This last week, we prepared for Thanksgiving. Many of us, we began preparing for the season of Christmas the day after Halloween. I know in my house the last few years, that's what we've done. November 1st, sometimes even the night of October 31st, our Christmas decorations have come up. And my wife and I, Kelly, we put a stop to that this year. We said, you know what, we're going to wait till after Thanksgiving this year to do that. We're also, many of us are preparing for 2024, New Year's resolutions and goals that we're setting. Maybe some of you who work in, you know, organizational life, you're kind of talking about a lot of those things right now as well. And what I want to do today is I want to help prepare our hearts for Advent, for this season. And you may be saying, well, what is Advent? You may not have grown up like I did. I didn't grow up in a church context that celebrated Advent. And so you may have been similar in your own life, and you may be saying, well, I don't even know what Advent is. And I love the Episcopal minister, Fleming Rutledge. She had this to say about Advent. It's a season of unique significance for the Christian community, a time of looking back and straining forward, a time of patient waiting and urgent watchfulness, a time uniquely designed to lift us out of our personal concerns and onto the cosmic stage where God's purposes for the universe are being carried out. You know, there's a dual nature in Advent. It's looking back to Christ's first coming and all that was prophesied about Christ's first coming. And then it is looking ahead, straining ahead and eagerly anticipating his second coming. And our text for this week is from the book of Malachi. And in the historical kind of biblical landscape, Malachi stands as the last of the Old Testament prophets. Malachi ministered to a community that had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. And Malachi's prophetic voice echoes with a call to repentance and a plea for people to return with wholehearted devotion to God. It's a short book, but it is filled with massive amounts of preparation for our lives even today. And it's the idea is this, is that something is gonna happen, so be prepared. So as we think about, you know, how to prepare our hearts for Advent, the first thing I want to say that we learn here from this Malachi text is that we want to anticipate the messenger's arrival. Listen to what the prophet Malachi writes in Malachi chapter 3. See, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you delight in. See, he is coming, says the Lord of armies. You know, there's a lot in this season of Advent, especially if you look at a lot of the liturgical passages. This is about to begin year B, and there's a lot in these weeks in Advent that talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a New Testament figure that was the relative of Jesus, the Messiah, and he came out of the wilderness. We'll read this passage in a few weeks. He came out of the wilderness saying, prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what this prophet Malachi is foreshadowing, the coming of John the Baptist, announcing the arrival of the Messiah. And when we wait for something, there's a lot of anticipation that goes with that. You know, you may be waiting for some gift that you've wanted all year long. Maybe you bought yourself the gift that you've wanted all year long. I don't know. Or maybe you've got kids in your house who they want a thing. They've just been waiting for it. This is a little bit of the spirit of Advent, of waiting for something that we're longing for. And the prophet Malachi here wants us to anticipate the messenger's arrival. You see, the people of Israel had been waiting for deliverance, but they began to look and they began to grow impatient and they began to settle for less. Isaiah chapter 40 again speaks to this. Again, the prophet Isaiah wrote that a voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make a straight highway for our God in the desert. In other words, it's this, it's that anticipate, don't get bored with it. Anticipate, don't look the other way, prepare the way, wait for that messenger's arrival, that something is about to happen, something is coming soon. So that's the first one. The second thing that I think the prophet Malachi would want us to know in here is that we want to allow our hearts to be refined in this waiting, in this season of waiting and expectation. We want to allow our hearts to be refined because again, we could become bored, we could become bitter, we could become discouraged, we could become apathetic, we could become, you know, all these things. But what could really take place in our hearts and lives as we wait, as we're anticipating, is our hearts could be refined. Listen to what the prophet Malachi says here in chapter 2, continuing on. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who will be able to stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and like the launderer's bleach. He will be like a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Then they will present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord as in days of old and years gone by. You know, it's just this picture that, and I love the Old Testament prophets because they're always giving us a kind of a metaphoric picture here. And that's what Malachi is doing. He's giving us this picture of this process that a refiner, maybe someone who would be refining gold or silver would go through. It's this idea that you would heat something up, put a lot of heat in it, and the impurities of that gold or silver, whatever it may be, would rise to the top. Those impurities would kind of bake off and rise to the top. And then the refiner would come through and would scrape those impurities off and then would go right back and repeat the process until there was nothing rising to the top. There was nothing that needed to be taken off the top. There were no impurities left behind. And in this season of Advent, I think that's what, as we kind of prepare our hearts for this season and the waiting that we go through is we're waiting on all the things in the world to be made right. I think what the prophet Malachi here is saying to us is let's let our heart be refined in these moments, just like this purification process that would happen with gold or with silver. Let's let our hearts be refined. You know, C.S. Lewis had this to say, just a beautiful picture. He had this to say, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you were not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little college. But he is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. What the Lord does through these seasons of purification, I think that Lewis quote speaks to it so perfectly, is that we can sometimes be looking around going, I don't understand. God, I don't understand why. Why am I, if we're attuned to this process sometimes in our life, maybe it's a thing where we're in our own lives, we're looking at our lives and we're going, why do I keep giving myself this proclivity to this sin? Or why do I keep getting kind of caught up in this same habit? You know, we can become frustrated through this purification process. Maybe we're not attuned to it. And we just become frustrated because we just want things to be different, and we don't understand why, you know, things are not working out the way that they are. But it very well could be in our waiting that God is actually leading us through a purification process. And that what we, C.S. Lewis has talked about this too in another writing where he talks about we're far too easily pleased. So many times we can settle for maybe like a half pure heart. You know, this picture here of Lewis, he says, you know, it's a cottage and God intends to build a palace. You know, the apostle Peter, we see this in the New Testament. He talks about that we're a holy people, a people set apart for God. And many times, I know in my own life at least, I'm so tempted to just kind of settle for kind of a mildly pure life. But what Jesus wants for us and what this season of waiting can actually cultivate in our lives is that it can be allow our hearts to be refined. And some of this is just submission. Like we just submit to the Lord. Lord, what do you need to refine in me? What do you need to change in me? Okay, so we got this anticipate the messenger's arrival in verse 1. 2 through 4 is this kind of idea of allowing our hearts to be refined. And then I love this one, verses 5 through 6. It's this idea of that in this season of waiting, preparing our hearts for Advent, that we can actually pursue a truer worship. Listen to what the prophet writes here. He says, I will come to you in judgment. That sounds scary, I'll be honest. And I will be ready to witness against sorcerers and adulterers, against those who swear falsely, and those who oppress the hired worker, the widow, and the fatherless, and against those who deny justice to the resident alien. They do not fear me, says the Lord of armies, because I, the Lord, have not changed. You descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed. And that idea of judgment, man, we don't like to talk about that a lot of times in church, do we? It's a scary thing. But I want you to think of it like this. Think of it in this way, is that, and I heard N.T. Wright talk about this one time, is that it is God setting things back to right. We're going to look at this text in a few weeks. He's got to smooth out those places. He's got to set things back to right. And when we pursue a true worship, that's what's taking place in our life. It's this kind of creating space in our own lives for a pure, truer worship to happen in our lives. Things that are broken and in disrepair, God wants to fix those things, and He will. You know, I shared this on the Sunday that we moved in because we had kids in the room. We had not started Grace Hill Kids back up yet, and we had kids in the room. And one of the ways that I talked about this is, you know, you think about a messy room and, you know, got company coming or friends are coming over to hang out with the kids. And, you know, parents, you've all done this before. You walk in, you open up the door and you're aghast. You know, you just can't believe how messy this room has got. Sometimes just almost overnight, you just can't believe how messy it's got. And what do you have to do? You have to, in some ways, pronounce judgment. Hey, this room is messy. You've got to clean this room up. And then you go through the process of setting that room back to the way that it was intended to be. And that's what this kind of idea of pursuing a true worship is, that God wants to come and in this season of waiting and in this season of Advent, lead us back to a more pure, a more true worship. And here is the most amazing thing, is that we are not the ones that have to set the room back to right. It is Jesus Christ who did that for us. Yes, there was judgment pronounced while we were yet sinners. Yes, we are sinners. We needed a Savior. We needed the Messiah to come and save us. While we were yet sinners, though, Christ died for us. Christ was actually the one, if you take that kind of clean up the messy room illustration, it was, you know, God walking in and saying, this room is a mess. And it was Jesus Christ who actually came in and began to fix what was broken, to set that room back to right, to clean out all of those messy places in our life. And that's the picture of the gospel. That's the picture of the gospel as we prepare our hearts and we wait in these moments. That's the picture of what the hope of the gospel brings. You know, this text here points us all to Jesus, that Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. The text here says, see, he is coming, and he has come. Jesus, the ultimate covenant messenger, brings not only the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, but also a transformative relationship to God and with God. His life, teachings, and the ultimate sacrifice usher in this new era, demonstrating God's faithfulness and inaugurating a covenant of grace and redemption. Jesus is the refining fire and redemption. Malachi 2 through 3, chapter 3, verses 2 through 3, uses this metaphor of a refiner's fire to describe the purifying work of what the coming Messiah was going to do. In the New Testament, the refining fire is seen in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. Through Christ's sacrificial death, believers experience purification and redemption from sin's power. The gospel, as the ultimate refining power, refining fire, not only forgives sins, but it transforms us, it refines us, it brings us back to who we were intended to be, shaping our lives into being who God wants us to be, full of grace and love. And the last thing is this, is that it was actually Jesus Christ. Now we have a picture of what is true and in worship. We have Christ Jesus. In Malachi's prophecy, the call for restoration of true worship finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The gospel brings a radical reorientation of our desires and priorities, leading us to a genuine, transformed worship of God. True worship is not just about religious practices, but it is about a surrendered heart. And Jesus is the one that is the agent of this transformative restoration in our lives. Jesus is the ultimate messenger of the covenant. Jesus is the ultimate refining fire. And Jesus is the ultimate restoration of true worship. And so as we prepare our hearts for Advent in this season of waiting and longing, that's what we hold dear. That's what we hold close. That's what we cling to. We cling to the gospel in this season of Advent and waiting. So I hope that you have a wonderful day. I hope that you have an incredible week. If you haven't connected with us on Sunday morning, I would love to invite you. Come sit with me. We meet at the Sanctuary on the Square, the beautiful Sanctuary on the Square, right in Carville's Town Square. We meet at 10:45 every Sunday, and would love to invite you to come out. We also have what we're calling our Blue Christmas Service on December 21st. It's a night of just reflection and lament, and it's a time where, you know, hey, if this year has just kind of not been what you wanted it to be, or maybe over the last, you know, few years you've lost someone that really matters a lot to you and you just carry a lot of sadness and burden at Christmas time, this service is a great place to come and process and just kind of be around other people who might be carrying something very, very similar. So I use this term, I mean it a lot, but I use it very sporadically, but I do want to say this, that night it will be a safe place to process grief and sorrow that night. And so I want to invite you to come out to that 7 p.m. on December 21st. And then our Christmas Eve service. I can't wait for this. It's going to be so great. December 23rd at 5 p.m. And I want to invite you to come out to that. You can learn more about all of this at gracehill901.com. We just launched a brand new website as well. So love for you to head over there. Grace and peace. Have a great week.